Tune your radio to the CITR 101.9 FM on a Tuesday, specifically at 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. for saxophone Hella Permitti or saxophone La Nuit. Hosted by moi, accompanied with the improvisationalists, saxophonists, composers, and musicians of our great era. Such as Anthony Braxton, Albert Ehler, Solange, Ghostface Killah, Ornette Coleman, Sonny Rollins. That's 1 p.m. or 11 p.m. on a Tuesday to listen to saxophone a la Primiti or saxophone La Nuit.
You're tuned to CITR 101.9 FM and you're listening to saxophone a la Primiti right now, 1 p.m. It's actually 1:13, but here I am. That was a new little station ID that I made. Not sure if I'll keep it, but I think it encapsulates what this show consists of. But I hope you enjoy today's episode. Starting out with Free at Last by Albert Ehler. I've been listening to this every single day. You might have heard it last week. You might have heard it on Daniel's episode, Songs with Friends. But I'm obsessed not only with this song and the lyrics and the vocals and the instrumentation and the composition, but also Albert Ehler's amazing improvisational virtuosity.
Free at last.
What you're currently listening to is William Grant Still's Symphony No. 1, titled Afro-American Symphony. This is the first movement, titled Longing, and this is mixed with Anthony Braxton's piece titled MDD-3/63D, Opus 23C, recorded in fall 1974 in New York. Now, I studied the symphony for a paper that I wrote at the end of my degree, and it's actually quite an emotional piece, this movement in particular. And I added this into the station ID that I made, just the very ending of this first movement, because what I wrote about in the paper is that Still sort of composes this little dream sequence of, you know, a musician or performer who gigs in Harlem. William Grant Still was very active in the Harlem Renaissance, so it's sort of this musical depiction of, you know, a performer, a black performer who, you know, goes home at the end of the day and is momentarily happy and, you know, kind of on that high from the gig where, you know, post-gig, you're kind of like riding that high of the performance. And then, the performer goes home and goes to bed and then suddenly remembers all of the hardships that they experienced playing music in America at that time. There was a lot of racism that black musicians experienced, which is strange, at least to me, who's someone kind of like not associated with that era, but learning about it is like, how could such a flourishing and rich historical moment for music be that depressing for the people who were actually innovating and creating all of this beautiful art? But alas, society is society. No, but for real. I brought a book today also just to, you know, assist in the pondering of existentialism. So might hear some words from Daniel C. Dennett's book, Elbow Room, The Varieties of Free Will Worth Wanting. But I read this book in a philosophy class that I took in my undergrad degree. And yeah, just one last thing on that. When I took my philosophy courses in my undergrad, my last year, I was taking philosophy, particularly a philosophy class called Hope and Despair. And this was, I was taking this class as right as Black Lives Matter was happening, and all of the protests in America and Canada too were happening. And yeah, it changed the way I myself was educated about the Black experience in America, especially. And yeah, partly also why this symphony holds a special place in my heart, because I've was a huge fan of William Grant still at this time too. Programmed a concert in appreciation of William Grant still to highlight some of his works. But here we're moving into sort of the gigging in Harlem. So you have the muted trumpets on the big stage and the full woodwind orchestration. And it's kind of bluesy and marchy and, you know, very proudly American. And so I wrote that this kind of depicted the gig. You know, you're on the big stage, people appreciate you, and then into the dream sequence after the concert, the performer sort of goes into a dream, or it's the end of the night, going to sleep. And that's when this movement transitions into movement 2, which is titled Sorrow. But that was William Grant Still's Symphony No. 1, Afro-American Symphony, Movement 1, titled Longing. And you're tuned to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver. And this show is Saxophone a la Primiti. You can tune in later tonight also at 11 p.m. if you want to listen to Saxophone La Nuit. But for now, enjoy MVD/3/63D, Opus 23C by Anthony Braxton.
Chapter 7 of Am I Dreaming? The Science of Altered States, From Psychedelics to Virtual Reality and Beyond, written by James Kingsland. Death of the Ego. Music orchestrates the experience, guiding us from emotion to emotion, from major to minor, from ecstatic highs to crushing lows, and back again in the unraveling story.
Listening to Come Sunday Live, performed by Anthony Braxton at a recital in Paris, 1971. K Kierkegaard writes that life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. In Elbow Room, Daniel C. Dennett writes, after quoting this quote from Kierkegaard, that we cannot help acting under the idea of freedom, it seems. We are stuck deliberating as if our futures were open. But is there anything to criticize or regret in this irresistible proclivity of ours? We may be able to assess the rationality or wisdom behind a way of deliberating by taking Mother Nature's view of us, or what comes to the same thing, by asking what constraints there are on the design of a finite physical deliberator, in order to test the hypothesis that determinism is compatible with good rational deliberation. We will assume determinism to be true and see it anywhere we have to deny it to make sense of our enterprise. If one were to design the perfect deterministic deliberator, then what features would it have? Okay, so I guess the contemplation of freedom is an interesting topic, especially in the context of American freedom, or the sense of American freedom in the sense that Americans view freedom very strongly, I would say. But if I were to relate freedom to music and, you know, these musicians that I play, Albert Ayler, for example, even just the song Free at Last, I think there was something, particularly in the 70s, oh my gosh, I keep saying particularly, in the 70s, Albert Ayler was coming out with all this amazing music, same as Anthony Braxton and a lot of other very innovative saxophonists and composers. And they sort of sing, muse, talk, improvise about this sense of, this newfound sense of freedom and liberation. And their concept of freedom is, I think, inextricably tied to some spirituality. whether that's some form of Judaism, Christianity, etc., any sort of spiritual set of beliefs that you follow, I don't necessarily know. But I do know that meditation was important, especially meditation through music, and sort of transcendence through music, and through improvisational expression was also important. And just sharing that expression with the audience, with the listener, was important. Sort of like sharing your spiritual musings with the audience. And I think that's one thing that Andre Crouch, who is a preacher from also the 70s, or he was touring in the 70s and 80s, I think that's something that he was really able to do. He was spreading the word of God. He was spreading the gospel with Andre Crouch and the disciples. And they, like, you can see in the videos, you can see that they really got the crowd to feel something and feel what they were feeling, which I guess was just joy and freedom in their faith. And I guess back to Kierkegaard, there's a lot of freedom associated with faith. Taking the leap of faith frees us, liberates us, in a sense, from the existential dread. But there is a great paper that I read in my class, Hope and Despair, that was written on sort of the things that happened and were happening and were coming out of the Black Lives Matter movement. can't remember what it's called, but I should be able to find it before the end of the show, so stay tuned. But yeah, the paper sort of just discussed genuine hope and genuine despair and how one can come to attain those states of being. But this version of Come Sunday is quite the expression on Anthony Braxton's part. Vocally, he's able to do a lot of voicing on the saxophone. I'll just skip ahead. You can quite literally hear him heavily breathing and voicing notes through the saxophone. But this next tune is Heart Love by Albert Ayler from the album Newgrass. Came out 1975. Great year. If you've listened to Saxophone a la Primitive last week, then you know. Oh, actually, sorry. Albert Ayler's album Prophecy came out in 1975. And Prince Buster came out with an album also in 1975. Prince Buster, sort of like a new figure on the show here. I'm curious about his album, Judge Dredd. Who is Judge Dredd? If I were you, I wouldn't Google who Judge Dredd is, because you get a white man who ripped off ska and reggae artists. He actually used Prince Buster's name, Judge Dredd, or he used the term Judge Dredd. He took that from Prince Buster and used it as his name, and yeah, we don't support. However, if you do go back and listen to Treasure Isle's ska releases, and there's a couple Trojan Record releases that just have compilations of all of the artists that actually started and sort of made the genre, or laid the foundations for the genre, can, I guess, educate yourself on the true beginnings of the music and not live the false narrative lie that Google, or maybe not Google, but our current agenda, government agenda, gives to us via a lot of things, but maybe Google sometimes. Grove Music Online is a great search engine for music. They actually have Roland Alfonso, I believe, on Grove Music Online. Who's Roland Alfonso? Another great saxophonist. Sort of in the same era as Prince Buster, developing the reggae and ska genre, the ska genre specifically. But this next piece I'm going to play is from William Grant Still's Africa. Or actually, first I'll play Movement 2 from Afro-American Symphony, since we already listened to the first movement. One of the great writers on the African diaspora, I would say, is William Grant Still, and you can find his writings on williamgrantstill.com or williamgrantstillmusic.com. But he, I guess, embodies a sense of African diaspora in his music, but in his biographies and in writings and interviews and things that he said, he does talk a lot about the African diaspora and how it affects him as a native-born American. But William Grant Still's sense of nationalism is very strong. He served in the army, I think it was the navy that he served in, and he wrote music for the World Fair. He wrote for, I think, LA's somethingeth birthday anniversary. It might have been, it could have been the 1975 World Fair. Oh no, the 1939 New York World's Fair. He wrote the music for something called Rising Tide. And I guess again, not to be like exposing people on this episode, but I think for some time there was like some confusion because I think it was blind auditions for the World Fair, like to find composers to compose each year, and Still entered, and one, and they realized he was black. And so for some time, I think they advertised George Gershwin or Ira Gershwin's music as the official music for that year rather than Still's music. But history has cleared up, and I think it's now generally known that Rising Tide was the 1939 World Fair music. But yeah, you know, not to be exposing people in this episode, but that was Movement 2 from Afro-American Symphony titled Sorrow. And we're back with Heart Love, one of the best solos, saxophone solos, from Albert Ayler that we've been blessed with. So I hope you're enjoying Saxophone a la Primitive this afternoon. It's kind of a random mix of music, but this is just sort of an introduction, I guess, to... the symphony. We've kind of been on a reggae ska train for the last 3-ish weeks on Saxophone, either Permanent Saxophone Lenny. And this is actually, right now, what's playing is A Change Is Gonna Come by Prince Buster from the album Judge Dredd. Another little version to familiarize yourself with if you've heard the prolific Sam Cooke version. But, yeah, we've been listening to a lot of, like, reggae and ska, but what I was gonna say was, I think I'm gonna transition into more of, like, a symphonic era, season of Saxophone à la Primitive, and play some William Grant Still for y'all. So this is, I guess, a precursor, a transitionary episode. But enjoy the rest of the show, and... tune in tonight for Saxophone La Nuit. I guess just to wrap up and summarize, we discussed freedom, particularly American freedom, American concept of freedom, and Albert Ayler's expression of freedom, liberation, and the hardships and the hope and the despair that comes out of the existentialist longing and considerations that come out of the American, the Black American experience. and, you know, in my case, or in our case, from the 70s until today, what's been happening. I was saying that I took philosophy and sort of graduated from philosophy right as Black Lives Matter was happening, and so we talked a lot about that, and we talked a lot about hope and despair. But to consider more on the topic of free will, liberation, and freedom, tune in later tonight to Saxophone Lanui, or tune in next week, Tuesday, 1 p.m., Saxophone a la Pernodi.
Flag, four big rocks, and then the dragon is over. Another story told.